Welcome to the faculty retreat on the new curriculum for the MDCM program. My name is Rob Primavesi. I'm the Associate Dean for Undergraduate Medical Education, and I'm your host for the afternoon. So we are calling this a retreat, although it is only half a day and it is in Montreal, but hopefully you'll be able to disconnect yourself from your other responsibilities and immerse yourself in the new curriculum. Our goals for today is partly informative, but we want to have room for discussion around what's proposed, receive some feedback, and see what we can still integrate as we move forward. So, so really, both information and dialogue. So I guess the first question is why renew the curriculum? So the curriculum was last renewed in a major way in 1994. And before I answer the question, or you answer the question, I'd like you to reflect on the timeline of some events that have happened since 1994. We have representation from pretty widely across the faculty. And so maybe what we can actually do is take a moment and just introduce yourself to the people at your table, because you may not know everybody. And taking this timeline into consideration, maybe come up with one reason from your table of why what's occurred over the last 18 years that may have an impact on our curriculum and the way we teach. So you're supposed to introduce yourself to each other. Okay, so I'm going to bring everybody back. So, any comments on that timeline of the last 18 years, or why we might need to relook at the way we teach? So the comment is curriculum needs to change because society has changed. So new communication technologies, the way we communicate, the way we access information is very different than it was in 1994. Anything else that stands out? So we're more transparent and more accountable, and as a result of information technology and what is out there for free on the web, we can look at other people's curriculums, they can look at our curriculums, and the whole transparency thing, I didn't list the .com crash in the early 2000s, which led to transparency in the private sector. But certainly I think the big thing here is technology, access to information. 1994, if you wanted to look up an article, you had to go to Index Medicus and go to the library and retrieve the article. And the new textbooks that came out, we knew were probably 3 years out of date when they were in print. So the access to that new information was very, very difficult. And now it's really at a fingertip. And not only is there scientific information, there's a lot of lay information. And how do you actually process all of that? So with this in mind, there were two initiatives that looked at how we teach. And the first one is the McGill strategic planning. This is one arm of the educational arm. The other ones were research and faculty life cycle. So this working group looked at how we should teach, and the vision was to be recognized, for McGill to be recognized as Canada's foremost undergraduate medical program, to prepare future generations of graduates to take their place as leading medical practitioners, educators, and researchers, with values on physicianship, so the role of the physician as a healer and a professional, to meet the needs of society, and to be adaptable and to promote scholarship. So adaptability in practice setting and scholarship and promoting self-learning and research. These are the people that were involved with I won't read all the names, but it was really had very wide faculty representation. And the document's actually included in your handouts. And one of their conclusions was, well, what are the attributes of a McGill graduating medical student that we want to see? And so we want to see stage-appropriate clinical expertise so that they have clinical skills that are appropriate for their level of training, that they demonstrate the properties of both healing and professionalism, that they have effective communication skills, that they are able to work as part of a team, that they have critical thinking and can make decisions, that they can adapt to changes in practices, technology, and societal needs. For sure, that's going to keep on happening. That they understand healthcare system in the role of the bigger whole in terms of public health, and to promote independent work through the understanding of scholarship and research. So that was published in March of 2010. And parallel to that, the Association of Faculties of Medical Education in Canada embarked on a very similar endeavor. And that was published as the FMEC MD document also in 2010, about May. And their recommendations parallel very much what the recommendations were in the Think Dangerously strategic planning. So that we should address individual and community needs when we look at healthcare. We should enhance the admissions process so that we admit a more diverse student population that actually reflects the population that we serve. That we recognize that medicine is based on scientific principles, and we teach basic science, but we teach it in the clinical context so it's clinically relevant. That we promote prevention and public health. That we address the hidden curriculum, because if we teach one thing, but the messages that students get in the clinical environments is a different one, or in the classroom, that's a problem. That we diversify learning contexts, that medicine is not delivered entirely in tertiary care institutions, and we need to look at where students learn medicine. That we should value generalism. And so, yes, in part this is family medicine, but it's basically being a generalist holistic practitioner. Advancing inter- and interprofessional practice, so working on teams. Adopt a competency-based and flexible approach so that we teach and we assess competencies in medicine, and we are flexible to meet the needs of the individual learner. And that we foster medical leadership so that our new generation of students can take medicine to the future and adapt to the needs of society. There were some enabling recommendations, which included realigning the accreditation standards to the Canadian reality, building capacity for change, because, you know, last curricular change was in 94. We shouldn't wait another 18 years till we fix the curriculum, so to speak. We should be able to adapt along the way so that it's an ongoing process. We should increase national collaboration. I think that came up. I mean, everybody, all the medical schools across Canada are going through curricular renewal, and we should be able to learn from other universities. We should integrate technology. And we need to enhance faculty development so that we give our teachers the tools by which they can teach in the new curriculum. In March of this year, FMEC published 10 recommendations on postgraduate education, and the one that actually applies to undergraduate is transitions in practice. So there has to be better transitions between med student to residency and then residency to practice. So when we look at the end of what we do at the end of the fourth year, we have to make sure that our students are ready to assume their role as residents. If you look at where we are now, if you look at, go to our website, and I actually the web page dropped off the bottom of the page, but so we've come up with, we structured the curriculum around components, so very much like we had in the old curriculum. We have fundamentals of medicine and dentistry, which are really the basis, transitional clinical practice, which is a pre-clinical part, clerkship, and then physicianship. And then we have themes that are woven throughout the curriculum. The idea is to do this longitudinally, and these reflect the FMEC recommendations and some of the things that we value at McGill and has very specific programs, so like our, the wellness and career advising, diversity, indigenous health, patient safety. And there are definitely groups that have come forward. We'd like everything to kind of fit in, into a nice little box somewhere. Not everything fits. So we've welcomed proposals from interest groups and how they can incorporate content into the curriculum. So it's sort of gradually expanding. We're going to hear from anesthesia and oncology in November. We've heard from medical ethics and health law and ultrasound this month, and we heard from palliative care the previous month. So we're trying to incorporate these as we go along. We're certainly welcome to hear from anybody who thinks they have a suggestion of important content that should be woven into the curriculum. So how do we decide what we're going to teach? Well, we already talked about outcomes related to the Think Dangerously initiative. So we need to think about what kind of a medical student do we want to graduate and how do we get them there, rather than saying we're going to teach this and hopefully that will be a fit down the road. So the way we've structured the development of the new curriculum is around the Medical Council of Canada objectives for the qualifying exam, which sets out the attributes expected of medical graduates entering supervised and independent practice in Canada. They're defined in behavioral terms, in terms of the CanMed roles. So this is where we're starting from. We're mapping the objectives to the curriculum, and we're trying to go from there. So this is what the first 18 months look like. So instead of basis of medicine, we're calling it fundamentals of medicine and dentistry. So this reflects both that we're teaching fundamentals and that the dental school is part of this curriculum. And Colin Chalk's going to take us through this in a little bit more detail. And then this afternoon you'll get to see some of the examples of some of the blocks and some of the themes that we're going to that we have planned. In general, the approach to new curriculum is much more integrative. So it's much less teaching in blocks and isolated units and isolated courses, and much more about integrating different things together and doing things more longitudinally, so that knowledge is used and transferred in a more continuous fashion from the beginning to the end of medical school. So that's what I have to say. I'm going to get Colin to come up here, and if there's, I can probably take a question if there's a question.